All praise is due to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon His final Prophet and Messenger Muhammad, his family, his companions, and upon the righteous who follow their way until the last day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to Insight Audio Studios. I am Abu Muhammad Louisiani, and after thanking Allah, we are pleased to bring you our work entitled Islam for the New Shahada, Volume 1. This is done by our brother Abu Tasneem Dawood Adib. May Allah bless and preserve him and his family. The titles are as follows. Number 1, the Declaration of Faith. Number 2, the Articles of Faith. Number 3, the Categories of Tawheed. Number 4, the Pillars of Islam. Number 5, the Conditions of Prayer. Number 6, the Pillars of Prayer. Number 7, the Obligatory Aspects of Prayer. Number 8, the Sunan Aspects of Prayer. Number 9, the Obligatory Acts of Wudu, or Wet Ablution. Number 10, the Invalidators of Wudu. And number 11, the Ghusl, or the Purification Bath. We have engineered over 35 tracks in this work. So many topics have subtopics. We ask you to relax, listen, and take your notes. And now, Islam for the New Shahada, Volume 1, by Abu Tasneem Dawood Adib. You're listening to Insight Audio, Islamic audio for the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Insight Audio. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek for aid and assistance. Guide us on the straight path, the path of those upon whom you have given your favors and blessings, not on the path of those who have received your anger, nor those who go astray. Welcome to Islam, for surely you have become successful. The purpose of this CD is simply to acquaint you, the listener, the new Muslim, with the basic teachings of Islam. What is intended here is to provide you with a proper insight into the subject of Islam and help you to appreciate the principles of Islam and what it stands for. So we are very pleased that you have accepted Islam. May Allah give you all the things that are good in this life and the next. And if you, my dear listener, are a non-Muslim and you are beginning to realize that Islam is the perfect religion chosen for you by Allah, we hope that Allah guides you and improves your condition. The Declaration of Iman, or Faith. To have knowledge of the meaning of the Declaration of Faith, which is the statement, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and to know the conditions of this statement, La ilaha illallah, is of an utmost importance. The meaning of the Declaration of Iman, or faith, is I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This beautiful statement that you've uttered enters you into Islam. That is, I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The shortened phrase can be said, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, is comprised of two parts. The first part, la ilaha, is a negation, meaning it negates the existence of all deities or anything that is worshipped besides Allah. While the phrase illallah, the second part of the entire phrase, is a confirmation. It confirms the right of lordship and godship and deity to Allah, who alone deserves to be worshipped. As for the conditions of this declaration, la ilaha illallah, then we will explain them to you in the second volume of this CD, inshallah, if it is the will of Allah. As for the articles of iman, or faith, they are six. Number one, the belief in Allah. Number two, the belief in the angels. Number three, the belief in the divinely revealed scriptures or books. Number four, the belief in the prophets and messengers. Number five, the belief in the last day. And number six, the belief in divine preordainment, the good of it and the bad of it, the sweet of it and the bitter of it. As for the categories of Tawheed, which is the belief in the uniqueness and oneness of Allah, then this has three categories. The three categories or aspects of Tawheed is number one, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which can also be called Tawheed al-Rabb. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, or Tawheed al-Rabb, is the belief in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah as the Lord, which means that Allah is the only one who creates. He's the only one that owns everything that he created, and he is the administrator of all the affairs of his creatures. In addition to this, it means that Allah is the organizer, the planner, the sustainer, the provider, the one who gives life, and the one who causes death. All of this is the first category of Tawheed, which is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah or Tawheed al-Rabb. Number two, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah or Tawheed al-Ilah. This Tawheed is the belief of the oneness of Allah in terms of worship, which means that there is no one or nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. If we wanted to understand these two types of Tawheed or categories of Tawheed, in other words, to make it more simplified for you, imagine an arrow going upward and an arrow going downward. Anything that is involving Tawheed al-Ilah or Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah signifies the arrow going upward. In other words, the creature, the human being whom Allah has created to worship him, he bears witness that the prayers that he prays is only for Allah, and the fasting that he does is only for Allah. and the charity that he spends from his wealth is only for Allah. And all of the acts of worship are only for Allah. So that arrow extends from the creatures who are on earth up to Allah. So Uluhiyya can always be remembered as or understood as going upward, meaning those acts of worship are going up to Allah. As for Tawheed al-Rububiyya, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the glorified and exalted is He, is the one, as we've mentioned, who is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the organizer. He's the owner. So those things are coming from Him down to us. So simply, Rububiyya is anything coming from Him down to us, and Uluhiyya is anything that is coming from us up to Him. As for the third category of Tawheed, and there is no fourth, then Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. Don't worry, you'll be able to pronounce these things very soon, if it's the will of Allah. Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat is the belief in the uniqueness of the most beautiful names and perfect qualities or attributes of Allah. You and I as Muslims, may Allah bless you, must believe in all of Allah's beautiful names, His perfect attributes, His lofty qualities, His sublime characteristics, and no one can be named or given Allah's attributes except for Him. You and I also have to believe, affirm, and confirm all of Allah's attributes, which He Himself has called Himself and described Himself by in His book called the Quran, and also from the tongue of His final messenger and prophet, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We are not allowed, you and I, to change the meanings of these names, to negate the meanings of these names and attributes, to twist their meanings, to give them any similarities between He Himself nor those whom He has created, nor to ignore them. They're only due to Him, they belong to Him only, and there is none like Him. As for the pillars of Islam, then they are five. That is, Islam is based or built upon five pillars. The first pillar is the bearing witness that no one, nothing, has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. We've already recited this for you, and as we said, don't worry, you'll be able to pronounce it soon. Repeat after me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That was very good. The second pillar, to offer the five obligatory formal prayers every single day. Number three, the third pillar, to pay the zakah, or the mandatory or compulsory charity. The fourth pillar of al-Islam is to perform the fast, to observe fasting during the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, which is called Ramadan. Once again, it's called Ramadan. And the fifth and final pillar of al-Islam is to perform the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage to the city of Mecca, which is found in the country of Saudi Arabia. And this is for those who can afford it financially and are physically able to perform it. The conditions of salah or prayer. The conditions of prayer in Islam are 9. They are as follows. Number 1, al-Islam. That is, being a Muslim. That is a condition for prayer. Number 2, al-Aql, which is sanity. The person has to be in his or her right mind. The third condition of salah, or prayer, is at tamyiz, which is discernment. That is, the person has to be at the age where they can distinguish this from that, meaning right from wrong. The fourth, raf'ul hadath, the lifting or removal of those impurities that come from the two holes or orifices in your body. That is, from the front when you urinate and from the back when you defecate. The fifth one, izalatun najasa, which is the removal of impurities that are on the outside of your body, like urine and dung that may fall on your clothes or in the place that you're going to perform this salah or this prayer. Number 6, satrul awra, which is covering those parts of the body that Allah, through the legislation of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has explained to us what are those parts of the body, private parts of the body, that must be covered when you are performing the prayer. Number 7, دخول الوقت, the actual time of the prayer when it begins, meaning you cannot pray or perform a prayer before its time. This is the condition. Number 8, استقبال القبلة, meaning facing the direction of the prayer. This does not mean facing the east, as many people think, because the qibla, or the direction of the prayer for the Muslim, differs from one place to another in the world. The most important thing is that you must face the city of Mecca. Independent upon where you are living, it may not be the east. It may be northeast. It may be southwest. And finally, number 9, an-niyyah. An-niyyah is a condition for salah or prayer, which is intention. You must intend to perform this prayer not to gain a reputation, not to be seen by people when you're doing it, not for money or anything else. You must perform this prayer only for Allah. And this intention stems from your heart, and it is not done with the tongue. As for the pillars of salah, or prayer, then they are 14. Number 1, if you have the ability to do so, then you have to stand when you're making the prayer. Number 2, which is called takbiratul ihram, or the initial takbir, meaning saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Number 3, the third pillar of salah, to recite the opening chapter or surah of the Quran, which is called Al-Fatiha. Number 4, which is called Ar-Ruku', or bowing. Number 5, coming up from the bowing position. Number 6, standing, meaning standing upright after you've done the bowing position. Number 7, to prostrate on 7 bones or 7 parts of your body. Number 8, coming up from or rising from the position of prostration. Number 9, you should sit between the two positions of prostration. Number 10, having very deep concentration, contemplation, peacefulness, sobriety, and tranquility while you're performing these acts of prayer. The 11th pillar of salah, or prayer, is to recite the final tashahhud. This may sound difficult to pronounce, and you'll meet many people, inshallah, if it's the will of Allah, who pronounce this incorrectly. They say tashahhud, but the correct pronunciation of it is at-tashahhud. Say it again. At-tashahhud. So the 11th pillar of salah, or prayer, is to recite the final tashahhud. Number 12, sitting while you're saying the final tashahhud. Number 13, or the 13th pillar of salah, or prayer, is called As-Salawatul Ibrahimiyya, or the prayer of Abraham. That is, to invoke or ask Allah's praise and blessings upon the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the 14th pillar of salah is to make the taslimatani. At-taslimatani, or the two taslims. Number 1, if you have the ability to do so, then you have to stand when you're making the prayer. As for standing with the ability to do so, then the proof for this, or the evidence for this, is from the Quran, the Book of Allah, and also from the statements of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, called hadith or sunnah. Allah says in his book, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand for Allah devoutly. And the Prophet Muhammad, in his hadith or from his sunnah, he said, صَلِّ قَائِمًا, pray standing. The second pillar, the initial takbir, or the takbir that commences the prayer, called takbiratul ihram. For that, we have the statement of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and sometimes we can say, alayhi salam, may the salutations or peace be upon him. The Prophet said, then face the Qibla and make the takbir, which is to say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. He also said that the takbir, or saying Allahu Akbar when you begin the prayer, that is, makes everything impermissible for that prayer. As for the third pillar of salah, which is the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, then the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, said, there is no prayer for the one who does not recite the Fatiha of the book, meaning the opening chapter of the Quran. Before we recite the Quran or read the Quran, we should or must say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed, rejected devil. Then we say, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. As for the Surah Al-Fatiha, it is the first surah in the Quran. Al-Fatiha is comprised of 7 ayat. Can you say this? Ayat. Ayat is the plural word of ayah. Right now, the meaning of ayah for you is verse. But as you go along in your studies of Islam, you will come to know that ayah has even more meanings. Surah Al-Fatiha has 7 ayat or 7 verses. Repeat them after me. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. If you are not able to say this, and we pray to Allah that you will be able to say it and say it correctly. If you can't say this in your prayers, then simply you will say, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And that will be sufficient. But you must try, and you should try hard, to learn how to recite Al-Fatiha. Because as we've mentioned, you do not have a prayer if you're able to say it, if you do not recite the opening of the book. You should also keep in mind that this surah, Al-Fatiha, cannot be said in any other language except the Arabic language. And for this reason, as we've mentioned, our Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, has instructed us, those who are not able at the time, to recite Al-Fatiha properly or have some difficulty learning it, to say Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, La ilaha illallah, there's nothing worthy of worship as a deed except Allah, and finally Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. You should also remember that we're talking about right now the pillars of Salah. And a pillar in Islam is something that if it is omitted, if it is left out, then that entire act becomes null and void. It is an intricate part of that act of worship. Therefore, a pillar of the Salah, if it is missing, then the entire Salah is rendered void. So you must. All of us as Muslims, we must know what the pillars of Salah are, and we must maintain them and protect them and make sure that they are present in all of our acts of worship. As for the fourth pillar of Salah, this is bowing, or what is called ar-ruku'. Can you say this? Ar-ruku'. Ar-ruku'. Or bowing, the act of bowing, is when the person places his hands on his knees, his right hand on his right knee, and his left hand on his left knee. The palms of his hands with his fingers are grasping not so tightly and not so lightly his knees. Not on your thighs, and not on your shins, but rather on your knees. And you should try to make your back, as you're bowing, leveled with the floor. You shouldn't have your back bent up so high, nor your back and your head bent down so low, but rather you should be straight, even with the floor. It is said that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may the peace and blessings and praise of Allah be upon him, It is said that when he used to perform the ruku', this position, or the position of bowing to Allah in his salah, that his back and his head, his back was so straight that if you were to place water on his back, it would not move. Meaning, he didn't have his head and back up so high, nor down so low, but rather level, completely, perfectly level with the floor. And this is the way you should be performing your ruku', or your act of bowing. Number 5, coming up from the bowing position. That is standing upright, meaning when you come from the bowing position, you raise your head, you raise your back, and you stand upright. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, can you say that? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me pray. So this means you should pray the way the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam prayed. This means whether you are male or female. There are not that many differences between the worship of a man and a worship of a woman in Islam. In fact, the majority of the acts of Islam for the males and the females are the same, the vast majority. So if you are a listener and you're a woman, then you should pray the way the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam prayed. And if you're a man, likewise, of course, you should pray the way the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam prayed. So, when you're coming out of the position of ruku', or the bowing position, you should stand upright. And you're going to place your hands on your sides. Your right hand on your right side, and your left hand on your left side, as you normally stand when you're outside of the prayer. In these positions that we're mentioning, in these pillars of salah, there are some things, some supplications, some informal prayers that you're going to say and going to recite. You'll learn them on the CD, if it's the will of Allah, inshallah. Pillar number 6 is prostrating on 7 bones or 7 parts of your body. That is, that there are 7 parts of your body that must touch the floor, and those 7 parts of your body that must touch the floor, as we mentioned, are pillars of the salah. So this means you have to place your forehead, your nose, the palms of your hands, your knees, and the tips of your toes on the floor simultaneously. If you wear glasses, then remove them before you make the salah. Put them in your pocket in a safe place, and make sure that your forehead and your nose are both touching the floor. The forehead and the nose together as one bone. If your nose is not touching the floor, then this position of prostration called sujood. Can you say that? Sujood. Very good. If your sujood is not complete, then your prayer is not complete. And sujood, or the position of prostration, is the closest position that you will be in front of your Lord while you are praying. So it's very, very important. Like all the other aspects of Islam, sujood or prostration is very important. Remember not to allow your feet to be off the ground or off the floor. This is something that is not permissible while you're making the sujood or the position of prostration.